So basically, what we've been covering the last few weeks is the progress of the Apostle Paul. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to change up the format of the board. I've been kind of drawing in some things, which I always normally do. But what I want to do this time is allow this line to represent the account in Acts 9 when Paul got saved. Acts 9. And then I want to draw this line, which is the death of Paul. Aren't you glad you named Paul right now? Your dad told me when we had Kelsey, he goes, "Why didn't you name your child after someone in the Bible? Aaron and Paul, right?" Well, you weren't here, but still. I said, "You mean like Aaron?" "Yeah." I said, "Well, who was Aaron named after? The original Aaron." You know, Aaron. So, anyhow, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm trying to burn some wheels here. All right, this is Paul's life. Okay? This is Paul's life here. This is not the dispensation of the grace of God. It is in it, and it goes far beyond. So we can do that. We can go out here, just draw this line here, and this will be the rapture, the end of this time that we're living in. So we have Paul's life here, and I'm covering his life because really his ministry, when you look at it unfolding in the book of Acts, what it ultimately led to was God bringing him through life for our salvation. So it's a real beautiful storyline. You just have to be able to see it. And that's the whole reason of why we're going through this process. Now, look with me, if you will, in Romans 11. Go and backtrack a little bit here. I appreciate you guys coming out because I know it's just so nasty and it's just such a deterrent to want to, you know, get out in it. So I appreciate you guys being here. In Romans 11, verse 1, Paul says, "I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew." So, what Paul's saying there is, has God cast away his people, which would be who? Israel, right? The Jews. He says, God forbid, and the reason being is he is the example. If God had cast away his people, Paul was one of his people, and he would have cast him away. So he says, I'm the example. So we looked into why Paul was sent to the Jew first. As in Romans 1:16, the command goes first, goes out that Paul was sent to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, because where Paul went was the synagogues, and in the synagogues were the Jews, and also you had Greeks in those synagogues that gathered there. He said, I was sent to the Jew first. Then we looked at why. Why was Paul sent to the Jew first? Well, actually, he answers that in Romans 11. Look down. Well, we'll start in verse 2. And it says, God had not cast away his people which he foreknew. What ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, that's Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thy altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. So then, during Elijah's time back there, all of Israel, not all, but a predominant bunch of them, had gone into idolatry, worshiping Baal. And the Lord told Elijah at that time, there are 7,000 that haven't gone and kneeled down to the image of Baal or kissed the image of Baal. And so Elijah went into that situation And he went in there to get the 7,000 out. It's an illustration. Because Paul says in verse 5, even so then at this present time also, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. So the reason why he was sent to the Jew first was to go in and get a remnant out of that group of Jews. So he goes on his mission, and every city he gets to, he goes in on the Sabbath day into the synagogue where were Jews and Greeks, and he preaches the gospel to them that Christ died for their sins, was buried and raised again, and there were those that believed. Now, having said all that, look at the situation with Israel at that time. Verse 11. I say then, have they, that's a reference to Israel, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? So during Paul's ministry, even though he was going to the Jew first, at that time they were falling, they were diminishing. In other words, they were headed down. They were in a downward fall from God. It just continued on that way. It still did not change the fact that he was sent to the Jew first. Now, let's see how this plays out. Turn back to Acts and look in Acts 13. Acts 13, look in verse 14. But when they had departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. So here they are. This is Antioch, Greece. This is not the Antioch in Syria. So he's in Greece and he gets here and he goes to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Now, why did he go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day? Because he sent to the Jews to preach that gospel to them. Verse 15, and after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers. And he goes on and on. Now he's given an entire kind of history thing towards these men here. But look who he addresses in verse 16 again. Men of Israel, and ye that fear God. So I know there's two groups of people there. Let's get more specific and come down to verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. So it's men of Israel and those that fear God. It's the stock of Abraham and those that fear God. Well, we know who that is, stock of Abraham, Jews, those that fear God, those Greeks there. So he preaches to them. Now watch this, go down to verse 42. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. So these Gentiles are respecting the Jews' tradition. They didn't say, we want these words spoke to us tomorrow. They're recognizing the Jews' position, so they say the next Sabbath. Let's see. Verse 44, and the next Sabbath day came almost, move it down, okay, better. Verse 44, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. So they see that these Gentiles now are hearing the Word of God, they're hearing the gospel, and they're getting saved. And so these Jews now start getting upset about it. They get jealous. They're filled with envy. Not a good place to be at all. And then verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the Word of God should first have been spoken to you. Who is the you there? The Jews. It was necessary. Why? He's going in and getting a remnant, those that will believe the gospel. So it was necessary. But now they're filled with envy. Now they're in this position of being in unbelief. And he says, but seeing, middle of verse 46, you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for the salvation, be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. So we see that these Jews here, they got upset about the truth of the gospel. They got, you know, we say sideways with Paul and Barnabas there. He said that you've counted yourself unworthy of everlasting life. So he said, we're going to turn to the Gentiles. Then he uses a scripture to show that God will reach out to Gentiles. And that's in verse 47. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And Paul is quoting Isaiah 49:6. Turn to it. Look in Isaiah 49. In Isaiah 49. In Isaiah 49, look in verse 6. Now watch this. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. So when you compare it, he's quoting in Acts 13, he is quoting that verse 47, I set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. So, with that being said, back there in Isaiah, did God in the Old Testament make a promise that Gentiles would be saved? Absolutely. I mean, come on. Isaiah wrote about it, that there'd be a light unto the Gentiles. Paul then, in his ministry here, confirms that when those Jews got upset about it, he was granted by God the inspiration to quote Isaiah 49 and say, I'm set to be a light of the Gentiles. So in the Old Testament, there were Gentiles that had hope of salvation with God Almighty. It was there. And that's very important to see and understand. I know it doesn't at this time seem like a lot, but it will as we go on in the weeks. It will magnify itself, the importance that God made promises in the Old Testament that He would have salvation for Gentiles. It's going to be big as we go forward. Now, go back to Acts 13. In Acts 13, verse 50, says, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. So you see, in verse 50, it says that Paul and Barnabas, at the end of the verse, were expelled. They were cast out. They were driven out. I'm going to write that word up here. And understand, expelled, cast out, driven out. Kids today, if they're not good in school, of course today, I don't know what they'd have to do to be expelled, but used to, you could be expelled from some pretty, what's today, minor deals, but they would expel you from school. What would they do to you if you were expelled? You were kicked out, right? You're driven out. You were cast out of school. Same meaning here. They were driven out. They were cast out from that area. The Jews could not handle the fact that Paul now is making this announcement about Gentiles, and they're jealous over all the Gentiles that show up at the synagogue, you know? So they were moved with envy on this and anger, and so they said, "Get out. We don't want you here anymore." When you look at the end of verse 46, there are those that read it that you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. There are those that take that Acts account and say from that point on, it wasn't the Jew first. It changed. I'm going to show you that did not change. That did not change. They leave out, they're expelled. Chapter 14, verse 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews. So they leave there after being expelled. Lo, we turn to Gentiles. They go to their next city, and where do they go? They didn't go to the Gentiles that were out in the city, out there at the market, all that kind of stuff. They went into the synagogue. So they're still going to the Jew first. They're still going to the Jew first. The diminishing of Israel turns out to the benefit of these Gentiles that are with these Jews. In other words, in the synagogue, on the Sabbath, they would gather there. You had Jews and you had those that feared God, which is a reference to Gentiles. They were gathered in that synagogue. As Israel diminished, Paul still went to those Jews. And in their diminishing state, even though he's going to those Jews, the riches of God was going out to the Gentiles. More and more to the Gentiles. God had promised, once again, that Gentile salvation is provided. Gentile salvation can be had. Remember that. It's going to come in very importantly as we move on. Turn to Acts 22. Look in Acts 22. Paul is giving an account kind of of what he was before he got saved. He's there in Jerusalem, and he's giving these accounts here. Look in verse 17. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, "Make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me." And I said, "Lord, they know that I am in prison and beaten every synagogue, them that believed on thee." So Paul's a bit of a changed man, isn't he? Used to go to synagogue and drag them out and beat them, right? "And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me," that's the Lord, "Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles." So there's a phraseology that he uses there. Acts, now we're moving along. Is that chapter 22 we're in? Yep. Yeah, I'll just put that up there, 17. We're moving forward now. Paul's progression is going farther. And in that verse, verse 21, and he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. You cannot go from Acts 22 back to Acts 9, Acts 9 to Acts 22, and find where the Lord ever told Paul that. You can't find it back there. You can go look. I wish you would. Go look when he was carrying out his ministry from the day he was saved up to that point. You will not find the Lord ever saying, depart, I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. It's just not there. So, when he said it at that time, apparently it was God inspired for him to say that. And so he talks about being sent far hence. Far hence. Once again, verse 21. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. This is a stumbling block for a lot of people. Because in Acts 13, he said, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Acts 22:17, or 22, I don't know what verse that is. It's 21. Let me write that up here. He says, I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Acts 13, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Acts 22:21, we go far hence. And people who don't understand this stuff will go, well, they're one and the same. They're not one and the same. It's different Gentiles. It's different groups of Gentiles. And they have different meanings. Totally different meanings. So, in Acts 22:21, he tells those Jews there that God says, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Now, in verse 22, Acts 21, verse 22, and they gave him audience unto this word, then lifted up their voices and said, let's expel this guy. You remember this? Back in Acts 13, I think it was. And they expelled them from their coast. They cast them out. They drove them out like a kid in school. Get out. You're expelled. In Acts 22:21, I'll send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Did they want to expel them? Let's read it. Verse 22. And they gave him audience unto this word, then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it's not fit that he should live. Folks, they didn't want to just expel him. They wanted to expire him. They wanted to kill him. There's a big difference. Those Jews in the early goings, he was going to those Jews, they got upset, they wanted to expel him. Why would these Jews say, you deserve to die? That isn't what the others said. They said, get out. Just, you're causing a problem here. Just go on, move on, get out. Expelled. These Jews, you deserve to die. And they went about to apprehend him to kill him. They were going to kill him. What is the difference? I can tell you what the difference is. The Gentiles back here were those that were associated with these Jews. They were like friends of the Jews. But it was these Gentiles getting saved that upset these Jews, so they're like, go, 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 go. Get out, Paul and Barnabas. These Gentiles, far hence unto these Gentiles, are a whole different bunch of Gentiles. these Gentiles would not ever be found in a synagogue. They're not going into a synagogue. These Gentiles, they went to a synagogue. They were in the synagogue. You had Gentiles that would not go into a synagogue. Why? They hated the Jews. Poster boy. They hated the Jews. They hated the God of the Jews. You know, they'd just soon kill them. I mean, we have a little bit of that working over there right now, even though the Jews over there are not the Jews of God's people, okay? But you see the brotherly fighting going on. Well, folks, that is nothing new. You had Gentiles that would not go into the synagogue. So when Paul is told, depart, I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles, when those Jews heard him say that, they knew the far hence identified what Gentiles he was going to. And it was like, oh no, you deserve to die. From the giving of the law with Moses, all the way up to Paul, Acts 22, there was never a minister, an apostle, a prophet, a judge, a ruler of Israel that ever had a commission of God to go to these Gentiles. To these Gentiles. Isaiah knew that Gentiles would be saved. Israel knew that. Isaiah 49, we read it. We read it. They knew it. Isaiah also points out there come a day, and this is the return of the Lord, where he's going to gather all nations to himself. All Gentiles are going to come to him. Gentile salvation is not hid. But when Paul said, he's going to these Gentiles? They said, you're worthy to die. That was blasphemy to them. Different types of Gentiles. The Ephesians, when you read the book of Ephesians, that group is these Gentiles. It is these Gentiles. That's who they are. These Gentiles. So when you see it written here, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Watch what he tells the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 2. Look over in Ephesians chapter 2. All of this is to lead up to show you how God used this man Paul throughout his life to ultimately bring us, these Gentiles, salvation. That's what this whole study is about. Ultimately to end in that regard, to show you that God worked this man into a point of bringing us salvation. Ephesians chapter 2. Depart, for I will send thee far hence. All right. Verse 16. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off. Gentiles that were afar off. I will send thee far hence. He's writing to Gentiles that were afar off. Why were these Gentiles afar off? Back up and go to verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So you see the Gentiles he's writing to? They were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. Having no hope. Isaiah 49, we read that God would present him to be a light unto the Gentiles for salvation. So, did Gentiles have hope of salvation? Gentiles had hope of salvation. So then, when you read in Ephesians, and he's addressing Gentiles there, saying, having no hope, they're not these Gentiles that were in the synagogue with the Jews. It's the Gentiles who would never go in there and expose themselves to the opportunity to hear the gospel. So it was Gentiles who had no connection to the seed of Abraham, to the stock of Abraham, to the children of Israel, none, 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 just like you in here tonight. There's no connection there unless you work for one or bank at one that owns one or something like that. There's no connection there. So there were Gentiles that were afar off. They were afar off from what? Promises. The promises of God. The covenants back here where God made arrangements for the nations to be saved. The Gentile nations. Even Christ said in Matthew 25 that he's going to gather the nations. He's going to set the sheep on his right hand, the goats on his left. And the sheep nations are going to come into the kingdom, blessed of their Father. So Gentiles had hope. These Gentiles, it is clear, had no hope whatsoever. None whatsoever. Until Paul got a little bit of a revelation, and look in Ephesians chapter 3. Now, before we go into that, Paul, here's the death of Paul. You just have to backspace this a couple of years, because at that time, Paul is locked up at Rome. You remember those Jews that wanted to kill him? When he said, depart, for I'll send thee far hence to the Gentiles, he said, it's not worthy of a man to live by saying something like that. They were going to get him and kill him. They were going to kill him. But the Roman powers that were over the area captured Paul, more or less, and delivered him out of the Jewish hands, and they transported him up to Rome, and they put him in a hired house, which is kind of like, today you get the, what are those bands, electric bands they put on you that keep you house arrest type thing or something? It was kind of like that. He had free going in the facility. He could welcome visitors. They let him have visitors. They would bring him food and clothing and visit him and things of that nature. He was a prisoner, but the main thing is, you see, God is protecting this man from being killed by the Jews. That's really what it is. So he's locked up there in Rome. While in Rome, he writes to these Gentiles that are far off, meaning the Ephesian letter. While he is in the prison, he writes this letter, and watch what he writes in Ephesians 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. I can emphasize it. I, Paul, the preacher of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. You Gentiles. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So he got a mystery there, and he wants to have these Ephesians fully know and understand it. What is that? Verse 5. which in other ages, I thought someone was really hungry or didn't have their shots or something. Well, we had a pig over here the other day. I'm like, what, are you running a zoo around here? You know, when you have a pig at the around our church, you know we're a Gentile church. Pure Gentile, man. Actually, it's like a security fence. It keeps the Jews out. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. People watching this, they're like, yeah, I don't have a pig. Oh, yes, we had a pig. Oh, boy. All right, anyhow, where were we? Verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And next week I'm going to drop a gold nugget on you from this. Why not this week? Because I got to save it. No, really, it's going to take a little time to lay out, but it's going to be really sweet when you see it. And here it is, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. The gospel. There's only one gospel that is effective today. What is it? Christ died for your sins, he was buried, and he was raised again for our justification. That's what Paul was saved by, that's what he preached, and that's the gospel he carried to these Gentiles. And keep in mind, these Gentiles have always been separated from anything that God blessed the Jews with. All promises that God gave was to the Jews. All promises of land, the promises of domain, in other words, you will be the head and not the tail, I'll lift you up above all nations, and all those things were to the Jews. These Gentiles had no promises. Ephesians 2, 11 and 12, we read that, having no hope, having no promises. So now the mystery is this, that you Gentiles, by believing this gospel, are put into the same body as these that first believed. These that had all the privileges and benefits, now these Gentiles that are far hence have the same promises, and that's what he's saying there in verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. You see, folks, when you trust in Jesus Christ, when you trust in the Lord, all the spiritual blessings that he had for those that first believed here in Paul's early ministry, you have all of them. We're not second-class citizens anymore. That's what these Gentiles were. They were cast-offs. They were pagan. They were heathen. They deserved the wrath of God, and the Jews knew it. Paul, look in Ephesians 2. Look in Ephesians 2. Verse 1, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. You, he's writing to these Gentiles, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the principality of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Now watch, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So they were destined to fall into the wrath of God because they had no hope from God. There was nothing there. If Paul did not get the revelation to carry the gospel out to these Gentiles, folks, we would just be born into this life and have no hope. Now, there are people born here and are ignorant of Jesus Christ. But that's not God's fault. He has provided salvation to everyone today, and all they have to do is believe. And it goes down to the good old Sunday sermon of, it doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, who you've done it with, God will save you if you trust in the Lord. If you believe in Christ, that He died for your sins, was buried and raised again the third day, you're saved. Your sins are forgiven, and you're placed in a body with all the other saints and have the same blessing as all the other saints and the same inheritance as all of the other saints. We're not shortchanged. We are not second-class citizens. We become part of the family. And what happened is ultimately the Jews diminished to a point, and this is where we're also going, to where God turned the program over to go out to these Gentiles, and it's been that way for about 1900 and about 40 years. It's gone out to these Gentiles, and we are the beneficiaries of it. We're the beneficiaries of that man being brought to Rome and being imprisoned. I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. They were locked up. He was locked up, rather, and put into prison for us, our behalf. You see, there are those that teach that when Paul got saved, everything in his 13 epistles took place in Acts chapter 9. When you hold that position, here's what you lose. You lose the ability to see the progression of Paul through Acts, the downward fall of Israel, the rise of the gospel to the Gentiles, and ultimately, Ephesians 3, verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. You lose out on the manifold wisdom of God because God had to stay, as they say, ahead of the curve. In other words, He had to see where Paul was going and the things that befall Paul and had to deliver Paul out of the mouth of the lion, He says. He had to deliver Paul from those Jews that wanted to kill him. He had to preserve Paul when he's on the ship to Rome and a cyclone hits and would have sank the boat and killed them all. He had to preserve Paul. It is God's manifold wisdom unfolding here that you see that ultimately shows the world all the powers that be. Matter of fact, when you go in there and you read about the principalities and powers in heavenly places, that's not God's angels. That's the devil in his dominion. I'm telling you, when the devil read this, we got trouble. Now the ones that we had, these Gentiles, now God's going after them. And He's basically going in and kidnapping with the gospel Gentiles that were under the power of the devil. You can't escape it. There's no 12-step program to get out of the power of the devil. The only redeeming power available to you is through the gospel, for it is the power of God unto what? Salvation. It's God's power to deliver you. So when the devil saw this and went, Paul's got another revelation of a mystery, and now these Gentiles can be saved by faith? It had to be a shocking situation to them. Had to be shocking that they could be saved. Because people like ourselves, I mean, just examine yourselves. I remember years ago, Brother Moore preaching. Boy, he was going, man, he was tearing it up. And he made the comment, at that time, I'd only been saved a year or two, and I didn't know much of the Bible, and here he is just tearing the cover off. And I thought it was edgy to say this, but now that I'm removed many years and I've learned things and stuff, he said, you could be locked up in a room with no TV, no windows, no visitation, nothing, naked, and you'd still commit sin because it's in you. sin is in you. So all the, it's their fault and it's their fault. So when you look at yourself and be honest with yourself and recognize that you're a sinner before God and you really deserve the judgment of God, and He's not going to give it to you because He gave it to His Son who died for our sins, was buried, but God raised Him up to show justification. When you trust in that, you've been released, freed from the power of the devil. Never, ever can the devil get his grips on you and pull you back into his domain. It's over. It's done. So I bet when the principalities and powers saw Ephesians chapter 3, I bet they believed it more than some preachers today. Because I know so-called preachers and teachers that won't touch what I'm covering right here. They won't touch it. I wonder who's behind that. Any help? I wonder. So here you have the unfolding of Paul's ministry as he goes through his life, and you see the challenges he had and where he winds up, and ultimately his writings to the church, which happens to be you Gentiles, which concludes, just trust in the Lord. Just trust in Him and call it a day. I mean, that's all there is today. So, and that's all there is for the message. So, we're done. I'm going to go.